That's a candy chore.
And
all right, I'm both saying, so again, we started yesterday the sugya of Maide Nayu, Maika Bein Rabbal Abai. So if everyone could turn to Daf Lamed Amud Beis, because I think it's always kedai to start with the Gemara. And the Gemara wants to know, within the context of Rav Nechunya Ben Akana, that Kares lends itself to Kimlev Ravine, what's the difference between deriving that from Ason, which is Abaye, or deriving it from Molech, which is Rava? And the Gemara says, Ika Meinayim Zar Sha'ochal Truma. So we have now an overlap of, number one, the Iser Misa Bidei Shamayim of Zarus, in regard to Truma, and then the Chiv Mo'on to pay the Kohen for the loss of his Truma. And in this case, it depends. If you go like Abaye, we're going to apply Kimlev D'Rabmine. And he doesn't have to pay the Kohen because he's Chayav Misa B'dei Shamayim. Misa B'dei Shamayim is also included under Ason. But if you hold like Rava, then the Alfusa from Molech is specifically earmarked or pinpointed to Kares. It doesn't apply to anything, any punishment that's less than Kares, namely Misa B'dei Shamayim. Now, in the case of Zar Shachal Truma, we had a discussion yesterday, which we have to finish up at some point. I don't know when we'll get to it, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, about whether or not the Truma was in the hands of the Kohen, in other words, it was already delivered, or was it Truma Biyad HaYisrael? And here we had a hafla that we discussed at great length. But first we have to ask a more basic question. Is there really simultaneity, if there's really a sync here between the Chiyuv Misa for Achilas Truma and the Chiyuv Tashlumin for being Mazik or Gonev, the Truma of the Kohen? And the Gemara makes that dependent upon Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda, if you remember, says that if Reuven steals Shimon's chelev and then he goes ahead and eats it, in such a case he has to pay Shimon for the loss of the chelev. And we don't apply kimlev d'ravine, even according to the Chunya ben Akana. So chelev is an iser kares. But what happens is, says Rav Chisda, there is a time delay in which he's chayev as a ganav even before he's chayev for chayev kares for achilas chelev. And that is because the very moment that he lifts up the chelev, he's already coated the chelev with a kinyan gneva, and he's not mischayev for achila until afterwards when he eats it. And if that be the case, says the Gemara, we should apply the same exact principle to zar sha'achal truma. From the very moment that the zar lifts up the truma, he makes a kinyan on the truma. Again, let's assume it's truma biyad kohen. Otherwise, we had the discussion with the Ravid yesterday. You remember that about Ni'ila? And he's not chayev for achilas truma until afterwards when he eats it. And here's where we stopped yesterday. Hochmai askinon kigon shetochav lo chavero letoch piv. And this was the Gemara's answer, that it wasn't that Reuven lifted up the truma of the Kohen and then afterwards ate it, which would make a two-step process in which he's chayev for gneva at time T1 and he's only chayev for achila and Misa B'dei Shamayim only at time T2, which would completely undermine our whole sugi of Kimlev D'Ravine, but rather someone put the truma into his mouth. And once the truma is into his mouth, he doesn't do a hadbah. There was no kinyan until the truma goes into his mouth. That's what we stopped yesterday. We were very bothered by this yesterday because it would seem that the Gemara really didn't solve its problem. Let's assume that achila is defined by hanos me'ayin. Well, the truma went into his mouth at time T1. At that time, he's not chayv for achila if you hold hanos me'ayin. But what I noticed here yesterday, and I wasn't aware of this when we learned this, is that the Gemara is bothered by a slightly different question. I don't think it's light years away from our question, but The Gemara says, "Sof sof, kevon de la say kanya." The Gemara is not willing to say that the moment that the truma goes into the mouth of the tzar, at that split second, he's already chay for gneva, and he's already instituted or implemented a kinyan. The Gemara is not operating with an equation between the peh and chatzer shel adam, because again, in gneva, the very moment you take the gneva into your chatzer, your chayev, that's a kinyan gneva. But the peh itself is not considered a chatzer. We don't know why. But nevertheless, there's a kinyan called shinui. And kinyan shinui means when you make some sort of a profound change in the structure of the object.
It's no longer be'en.
I wouldn't say it's no longer be'en. I would say it's no longer edible. So in the case of an ochel, for example, if I take your food and I chew it up in such a way that no one would eat it, then at that point, that should constitute a kinyan. And the Gemara identifies le'isa as kinyan, which is going to be very fascinating in terms of a famous Yerushalmi, which hopefully we'll get to today, about mitzvah bo bavera in matzah gzula. Let me not jump ahead of myself. Anyway, remind me, I want to talk to you about matzah gzula in the case where he eats the matzah, and while he's eating the matzah, because again, we pass him bola matzah yotzah. In other words, even if my definition of achila requires hanos me'ayim, but matzah is going to be the exception to the rule. So if bola matzah yotzah, then the very moment that he was bolea the matzah, at that moment he steals someone's matzah, because the Gemara is identifying le'isa as a kinyan for purposes of being mechayev the ganav, and at that moment he's mechayev the mitzvah of matzah. So whenever you have a simultaneity between geneva and a mitzvah, we apply the principle of matzah gzula or sukkah gzula lulav hagazel, which is called mitzvah b'avera. But he says mischayev benafshal ohavi ad debola. So again, this seems to be close to what we said yesterday. I'm getting a little bit more excited because I'm happy that I think the Gemara here is referring to the sugya of hanos me'ayim. That if we hold that an achila is defined by hanos me'ayim, well, le'isa itself is not enough. In fact, the Gemara says that if he spits it forth, he's not going to be chayef. So let's say a person puts the vela into his mouth, he chews it up, and then he spits it out. He's not going to be chayef achilas nevela, because the chiyuv achila is only clinched when he swallows the nevela, not when he spits it out. Now I have here a footnote in the Masifta. Again, it's a pretty short footnote, so even if you don't have it in front of you, I can read it very quickly. He says, Chiyuv truma is machmas hanos me'ayim. Okay? So I think what he's saying here is that at stage T1, when he chews the truma, he incurs a chiyuv gneva, but the achila, which is going to generate a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim for zoros, requires hanos me'ayim. So I wish he would have gone into more detail here. Let me just see one thing here. Okay, that's what I had here.
There's a parallel to me'ila where you're not chayav until you have hana, and the chewing is not considered hana.
So let's say you chewed up hegdesh, that benek habayis that belongs to hegdesh, and you haven't swallowed it. And if the assumption is that me'ila is chayav for kinyan gneva, then he was already konu with chewing it. If the chiyuv me'ila is for hanos hegdesh, then he's not chayav until he swallows it. Now, in me'ila, there are two different dimensions. There's the isra hanah of hegdesh, and then there's the kinyan gzela of hegdesh. So, for example, you can violate isra hanah from hegdesh without incurring a chiyuv gneva, let's say in kol marav areach. And in such a case, you would not be chayav a korban me'ila because you didn't steal the hegdesh, because ein bo mishum be'ila, but yet you would still violate isra hanah from hegdesh. So in this case where he chews the hegdish and spits it out, and he never swallowed it, he would be chayev for hanoas grono, but he would not be chayev for he would be chayev for gnevas mi'ila, meaning that he was koneh with le'isa according to our Gemara, but yet he would not be chayev for achilas hegdesh. Again, if you identify the hanoah from hegdesh, as we said it over here, as hanoas me'ayim, and he spit it out, then he would not be in violation of hanoas hegdesh, but he would be in violation of me'ila. Why? Because the le'is itself, as the Gemara says here, kanya, and if he's kona, then he's chayev for gneva. So now the Gemara needs to orchestrate a situation where not only was the hagbah implemented by some other agent, some other person, but even the le'isa was circumvented. I mean, how could you circumvent le'isa? And the answer is that you were bolea without le'isa. How did that happen? Kigon she'tochav lo, his friend took the truma and he shoved it down his throat, l'toch beis ha'blia. And Gemara assumes that if it was blia of truma, that's enough to incur a chiyuv misa even without le'isa. So again, we're skipping the step of le'isa. And again, why do we want to, what's our agenda here to skip the le'isa? We want to create a simultaneity between the kinyan gneva and the chiyu for zoros, for achilas, achilas truma. If we're going to assume that there was blia, then the kinyan gneva preempted the achilas truma for the zoros and the chiyu misa v'deishmaim. If there was no blia, because tochav lo bebeis ha-blia, I'm sorry. If there was no le'isa, because tochav lo bebeis ha-blia, then we can have simultaneity that when he swallows the truma, he's chayav as a ganav. Now again, we have to assume that the truma is still intact. Correct? Because if the truma is not intact, then there's no chiyuv gneva. Mm-hmm. So how do you get a situation where the truma is still intact? And the answer is because he didn't chew it up. If he didn't chew it up, he could just spit it forth. He can regurgitate it, and again, it might not be so pretty aesthetically. You know, this is not the kind of truma that you would want to eat if you were a kohen, but nevertheless, you could eat the truma, it's edible. Again, we have another question here, because if Shimon was the one who was toche betoch bliyosel shel Ruvein is an anus, right. You know, these are circumstances beyond his control. What was he meant to do? So the Gemara says that depends upon whether he could have spit it up. Hechidami, either matzila dura, if he can spit it up, nahader, then let him do so. Mm-hmm. Now, what does it mean nahader? So it means that he made a decision. He made a decision that he's not going to spit it up, and rather he's going to swallow it. So what's the Gemara's objection here? The Gemara's question is very difficult. The Gemara rejects the possibility that matzila dura. Because then, nihadir. What do you mean nihadir? He swallowed it, correct? So at that moment that he swallowed it,
he has a choice.
Yeah. But I'm saying, what actually happened then? We're trying to set up kim leib derabin, which means that he incurs both achiv misa and achiv tashlumei truma at the same time. Yes. So obviously he swallowed it. He didn't cough it up.
Yeah, but whether he swallowed it because he could have no choice or not is the difference.
Okay, so the Gemara says nahadir. What is the Gemara saying? Is the Gemara saying nahadir means he had no choice?
Nahadir means
he has a choice, correct? So right. Nahadir means he has a choice. Well, he didn't take advantage of that choice. Instead, he decided to swallow it. Please take a look at Rashi, because once again, you know, we have to figure out what the Gemara means by nahadir here, because Adarabba, it would seem to me that nahadir would support the Gemara, not object to the Gemara. I'm going to read to you his translation here. He writes, nahadir, olav lo tzia. Okay, that I understand. But in lo tzia, mischayev, it means he makes a kinyan gneva, and he has to pay the kohen. He says, "Hare kevach yeshlo efsharis lahotzis hatruma mipiflo asa nimsa she'ein kan chiv misa lefotro."
The chayiv is not talking about
it. Again, why is there no chiv misa? He swallowed it, and he didn't have to swallow it. He could have coughed it up.
No, it's at the stage where he can spit it out. He's certainly not chayiv misa.
Ah. So in other words, now the Gemara is splitting it with a razor sharp knife, and the Gemara is saying that even when it was tocha v'beis ablia, there are still two, I don't know what to call it, two maisim, if you can call it that. There's one maisa of non hadure, where he doesn't cough it up, and then there's an active maisa of swallowing it. Okay, so we have to. We have to take a quick course in anatomy here. So there's an. This is not a. What do you call it? The difference between.
It's not a reflex.
Yes. What's the opposite of a reflex? When you need to. I'm trying to remember my elementary school biology. Right.
There's two choices. Either you're able to swallow.
Right. No, I was just looking for a word. There's a word, maybe it's called involuntary and voluntary. I don't remember, but when I was in. Is there such a thing that when you teach, elementary school biology?
Yes.
So the Gemara is saying that you need a voluntary action in order to swallow it, and that's when he incurs a chiyuv misa.
Right.
But already before that, the moment he decided not to cough it up, at that moment, he already incurs a chiyuv gneva. So we haven't solved that problem of achieving be'idna.
Right.
He says, nimta, again, sheka eis, already now, he's chayuv, because he didn't cough it up. But chiyuv misa, in eno chal, rak li achar mikan. Li achar mikan, I think he means, when he, through a voluntary action, he swallows it. So let me read to you what he says here in the footnote. Maybe he adds something. He says the following: Eino mischayev misa ad shiiv le'eno legamri. Again, I assume legamri means this voluntary action where it starts going down his esophagus. And he says that yesh lachkar. He says the two ways of defining: Masai, at what point chalim chiyuv tashlum chiyuv misa. He says there are three stages in eating truma in this case, right? He says number one, b'makom shebo adayin nitan lo tzias ha-maichol mimenu. That's stage number one, where it's already in his base ablia, but at this early stage he can still cough it up. Then he says number two, makom bo kfar efshalotzio misham. No, he still hasn't swallowed it, but it's so deep in his throat that there's no way that he can cough it up. And gimel blias hamachal, then he actually swallows it. Okay, so let's talk about these three stages. In stage number one, where he can still cough it up. So at that point, just one second. Again, if it's the Efshel Bolo, so the Hadure, which the Gemara is going to get to in a minute, then why should we chayiv? It's already onus, right? He's an onus. So you'd have to say that it's stage number one, and he could cough it up. So at that stage, what exactly happens? Ah, so I said to you that he made a passive decision that he's not going to cough it up, and at that point he makes a kinyan. According to the Masifta, again, I'm not sure who he's quoting yet, he says no. You have to reach stage two before he's chayav to pay the kohen. What's stage two? Stage two is when he makes the transition between yochel adure and einu yochel adure. So as long as the ochel is b'makom sheyochel lahotzi misham and he can cough it up, that's not called gneva. But the moment that he, I don't know, he brings it down a little bit lower, he hasn't yet swallowed it completely, but he's already what? He's already grabbing onto it. You know, his throat is already clamping on it in such a way that he cannot, he cannot get it, cough it up. At that point already, he's chayav for what? For tashlume truma. Ve'ilu chiyuv misa eino chal rak v'shosha ochel nivla. That's one approach. So again, let's go over this approach. According to this approach, the chiyuv tashlumin depends upon shosha ochel nitzu makom she'eino yochel lotziyu misham. So when, and again, he's not an onus. Yeah? Otherwise the Gemara is going to shlug it up based on the fact that lo matzi latur. So at this point, he has moved the object, in this case the truma, from a point in which of ef shalat of ef shalat dure to a point of ef shalat dure. And at that point, he's chayav for tashlumin. Be'ilu chiyuv misa einu chal el kshebolo legamre di oz nena b'meyav. So the three stages, again, there's stage number one where he could simply cough it up. At that point, there's no chiyuv whatsoever, not even a chiyuv of tashlum. Then stage number two, in which somehow he actively puts or moves the truma to a location where iyaf shalat dure. He hasn't yet swallowed it. And at that point, he incurs a chiyuv tashlum mama to pay the kohen. Because it's iyaf shalat dure, it's lost. Once it's lost, that's called the most radical shina, right? Shina means when you can't. There's no way you can get it back. But he's not chayav for achilas truma until we get to the third stage. What's the third stage? Blia be'anos me'ayin. So therefore, the Gemara says you can't tell me matzi ladure. So that's out. Ilo matzi ladure, says the Gemara, is amai chayav. Now he becomes an onus, and this is where the Gemara gets stuck. So that's according.
Meaning it starts in stage two. If the guy
what starts in stage two?
The food was first implanted in his throat at stage two, and then bypassed stage one. That's what it means. Ilo matzi ladure.
Right. And that Gemara says it's an onus.
You're not an onus if you swallow it to stage two yourself. It's only in case of onus if the chaver subbed into my mouth already at stage two and bypass stage one.
Right. So once, if it's lo matzi ladure, since he cannot cough it up, the only possibility he has, unless he dies of lack of oxygen, is to swallow it. So at that point, he has no chiyuv misa for zar shachal truma because he has no choice but to eat it. It's already in his throat in such a way that he can't cough it up. So again, all this is according to one approach. Now he has another approach. Let's just see the two and see if we can compare them. The second approach says the following: Hachiv tashlum in chal kvar b'shasha ochol nimtza b'makom sheyachol lahotziyo mishon. He says the following: that even at stage one, right? It's again. I'm going to read it again. Ha'ochol nimtza b'makom sheyachol lahotziyo mishon. He's chayv b'tashlumin. Again, I'm a little bit confused here because if at that point he's chayav b'tashlumin, why doesn't the Gemara call that an onus? So maybe this has something to do with other mu'ud li'olam. I don't know. But you hear my question. But in any event, let's just present the facts on the ground. So according to this shita, which he identifies with the whole school of Rishonim, that in the chayav b'tashlumin is incurred the very moment that the ochel finds itself in a place where he could cough it up. And I guess he made a decision not to cough it up, and that already is considered as if he took away the object from the violin. The chiyuv misa is not chal until he gets to the second stage, in which the ochel is nimtza b'makom she'ef shalotziya misham.
Stage two.
Which is stage two. We don't even need stage three according to this mahalach. Yeah. Now, where does he find this mahalach, which I find a little bit difficult for two reasons? First of all, if I assume that achila is defined by mayayim, by anos mayayim, he's telling me I'm chayev once the ochel is irregurgitable, if there's such a word, right? Why? He hasn't yet enjoyed anos mayayim. But that's not my basic question. My more fundamental question is, how can you tell me that is chayav tashlumei truma as it did mamon from the moment that it reaches a place where, even though it's yachal lahotziyo misham, That doesn't make any sense to me, because then the Gemara should have applied the principle of onus even in that case. Let's see if we can get a clue one way or the other from Rashi. The Gemara says the following: Shetochav lo chavero. Rashi says the lo agbe velo kanye velo mechayv tashlumen ela bibliyoso. So Rashi is saying that in the Hava meaning, the Gemara thinks that tochav lo chavero would be enough to accomplish our goal of simultaneity. And then the Gemara says no, he should be chayv already from the he should be chayv tashlumen from the moment of leisa. So we're going to have to say tochav lo chavero betoch beis habliya, not betoch pib but betoch beis habliya. So the Gemara now asks the question: what's going on? If it's yachol, I'm saying if it's motzi ladure, is there niha there? I know Rashi has a slightly different girsa, it seems. Do we have these words of iboile ladure? I don't know, I didn't see that. You saw it? Motzi ladure we have. Do we have iboile ladure? Okay, fine. We have nahader. I think instead of nahader, Rashi has iboile ladure. Check me out on it. So Rashi says the following: V'chilo ahadre me'ahi shaita iu mazikle. There are 2 points we should make here. Number one, Rashi doesn't use the word gneva here, but rather mazik. And number two, Rashi's talking about the point where he can still cough it up. Now, Rashi now goes on a tangent here. Well, why isn't Shimon the one who was talking? Why isn't he chayv the rishon lav mi the ovid v'lo nischayv l'koin klum? Rashi says the reason why the tochev is not chayv is because at this point motzi ladure, so it's not
nothing is happening.
Nothing is happening.
So he explained because the first one thought that Shimon belonged to this person.
Wait, give me just 1 second. I'm sorry, just 1 second. I just want to see, is the next Rashi relevant to us? Ilo motzi ladure amai chayv. Oh, yeah. Let me just read one more Rashi. Ilo motzi ladure amai chayv misa onusu. Oh, good. So Rashi mentions onus. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm looking at the Biur Rashi in Masechta.
Oh, yeah? What does he say?
The reason why the first one is not chayv is the first one assumes that the truma belongs to the person into whose mouth he's shoving it. There's no
example. Ah, okay. That's not the impression I got from Rashi. Does he quote somebody?
That's either a footnote on Dali.
Because I thought Rashi's saying
Imre Moshe,
okay, Rav Moshe Sokolovsky. But I would have said without Rav Moshe, I would have said that the Rishon in Rashi is not chayv because lav mi the ovid. I don't think Rashi's saying that he was missing a certain idea, but lav mi the other means nothing changed over here because it's still a case of motzi ladure. That's what I would have said.
Really?
But wait, the main point of the whole discussion here is that the masifta, again, maybe based on the emotion.
The problem I think maybe he's addressing is that if we're all along, we're talking about the person was not picking it up, because that's when he'd be kone and be chayev.
Right.
The tochev picked it up. Why is he not chayev at the moment?
Oh, that's the Imre Moshe's question.
I'm assuming that's why you have to address it the way you did.
I see. So that's an interesting issue. Let's say if I pick up your object in order to put it into someone else's mouth, am I chayev as a ganav or not? He's assuming I should be chayev as a ganav. Hence, I have to assume that the other person owns the in my mind. Okay, that's good. But again, let me just not get sidetracked here, because again, I just wanted the culmination of this discussion is the following: that the way it's being presented here, there are two roads here. There's a machlokas here. How to define this moment in time, which is called motzi ladure. One sheet is going to say that motzi ladure means there's no chiyuv for tashlume truma at that point, but rather there's going to be another stage, which is before blia, in which he makes it into lo motzi ladure, and for that he becomes chayav in tashlume. Then there's going to be the third stage of blia, and that's when he's chayav misa for zar shachal truma. That's one approach. Rashi is not taking that approach, because according to Rashi, the very moment that it's lo motzi ladure, then he's already chayav as a mazik. Which again, I don't understand exactly how that operates. I just want to get the facts on the ground here. Rashi doesn't indicate that there's another moment in time which goes beyond Matzi Laduri, which is called Lo Matzi Laduri. That moment in time doesn't exist. We go from Matzi Laduri to Blia, according to Rashi. So the Matzi Laduri moment is the moment that he's chayav as a mazik, according to Rashi. And the next split second is when he swallows it. There's no middle stage here in Rashi, and at that moment he's chayav as an och azar shochal truma, and he's chayav misa midei shomayim.
Yeah, because that's the definition.
The other approach, again, I just want to reiterate it for the third time, just to make sure I have it. Not you have it. You had it on the first time, but I need to go over it over and over again. That there are three stages over here. The Matzi Laduri stage, clearly he's not chayav as a mazik or as a gazal because Matzi Laduri. Right. And Adarabah, we wanted to say that's why the Tochem is not Chayav. Because right now, the object is in limbo, and it's not lost to the world. Then we have a stage number two, in which he, I don't know, voluntarily somehow pushes it down towards the very opening of his Beis HaBliya. It's not yet in the Beis HaBliya, or it's not yet down the Beis HaBliya, and it's Lo Matzi Laduri. That's the moment in which he incurs a chiyuv as a mazik. And later on, this Bliya Gemura, when it goes down his esophagus.
Rashi says, to Lo Matzi Ladura, Amai Chayev Mita. Why doesn't he say, Eno Amai Chayev Mamon?
Ah, that's a good question. In other words, if it's already a case where it's what? Where it's Tochav lo b'beis habliyah v'lo matzi ladure.
He doesn't have hanoah yet.
So in that, why does Rashi isolate? Is anything in the Biuri Rashi on that? He's making a very good point, though. So you know, Rashi could have said he's not chayiv, period, for anything.
Yeah, not chayiv. Why do you have to say, am I chayiv mita?
Wait, just one second. Wait a minute, I think I have an answer to your question. Just one second, give me one second.
I'm not looking at the standard Rashi. Where's it saying?
Okay, one second. I'm just going to close my ears for a second. Sorry.
It's no longer mixing at that point. That's where all things started. That he would not be high.
I don't know the answer to your question, but it's an excellent question. If
you're at a stage where you cannot make a decision.
Well, one second, Al, are you answering Yossi's question?
Yes, answer
yeah, go ahead.
If you're at a stage where you cannot have a choice to bring it back up, then at that very moment you lose the ability to make a decision, and it can't be mazed.
Right, so why does Rashi have to emphasize Misa? I mean, we're talking about two chiyuvim that overlap, and none of them are relevant. You know, no, Rashi didn't have to.
If you're not chayiv Misa, then you can't be talking about kamulim in a rabbi.
No, I understand, but I can say it the other way around. If you're not talking about chiyuv mazik, then you can't talk about kamulim either. Why did Rashi had two choices? And I would have said Rashi shouldn't have gone either way. He should just say ain't a chayiv, period.
Why
does he mention Misa? Why not just mention mazik?
No, because whether he did remezir or not remezir, he's still chayiv moment.
No, he can't be chayav moment if he's that kind of an anus. There's a machlokas we've shown him about what's called anus ke'ein gnev v'gzela. That's machlokas tosfos in the Ramban in the Masechta Bava Kama. But in a case of anus gavur, where somebody throws it into his belly, you know, for sure he's not chayav.
No, but of course that. But we're talking about where he told the man to push it into him. So this is really
no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Again, look at the Gemara. The Gemara says that e de matzi ladura, if it was in a situation where he could cough it up, which means that he made a decision not to cough it up, is Rashi says at that moment he's chayav as a mazik. At that moment, again, even though it's matzi ladura. But if on the other hand it's lo matzi ladura, then you can't tell me he's chayav as a mazik. You know, somebody. You could ask the question why the tochev is not chayiv as a mazik, but you can't tell me that this man who's totally passive and it was shoved down his throat in a way that he can't do anything, that he should be chayiv damages for such a thing. That's not a halam here. So therefore, Yosef is really right here. Rashi didn't have to come on to chayiv bisa. I mean, the whole basically what the Gemara is saying, that Amai Chayev is he's torpedoing. The Gemara says we're torpedoing the whole thing. It's all out of the thing. He's an honest period. I don't know why Rashi has to focus on miso.
The next Rashi starts to deal with this. When it's in Al Yedei Hatachat.
Oh, I haven't even read the Gemara yet of Al Yedei Hatachat. You're really ahead of me. So let me just read the Gemara, if you'd like. But you know what? Before, you know what? I think we got a little bit ahead of ourselves. I want to ask you about Le'isa. Right? The Gemara assumes that Le'isa would be a Kenyan Gneva. Let's just think about that. Do you have page Kuf Lamed Daled? And let's talk about what's called matzah gzula for a minute. And keep in mind that in the case of matzah, you don't need to chew it up at all. The Gemara says explicitly that bola matzah yotza. So let's take a look at the Rosh in Pesachim, which is on, that's Os Kuf Chav Gimel. You have that?
Yep.
And he says the following: Ein adam yotzi dechovas matzah gzula. Why? The lav lachemu. Okay, so we know that you cannot steal matzah and eat the matzah and the yotzi of mitzvah of matzah. Fine, and you'll find this also in the Rambam, Perikva, Milchus Chometz of Matzah. That's called matzah gzula. You'll find it also in Shulchan Aruch. So now we have the Nesivus. You know, Nesivus is famous for many things, but amongst them his commentary on Masechet Pesachim called the Makor Chayim, and he writes the following. We see from our Gemara that Le'isa is a Kenyan. Okay then? Because that's what the Gemara says, that we cannot, in a case of Zarsha Ochal Truma, we cannot achieve Be'itna, because already at the point of Le'isa, he was Konan the Gneva, even before the Belial. Mm-hmm. So he says, Al Karchach, Kinyan Zeh, Eino Ga Kinyonik Zeh L'Lishai Ba'onsim. He says that, does he have a full-fledged Kinyan? He says, the Le'inyan Lios Gazlan Kano, Kfar Kodem Le'iso Kishemunach Befiv.
Because of Chatzim?
I don't know if he means Chatzim. I'm trying to figure that out. But in any event, let's go slowly. The premise of the Makar Chayim is that we don't have to wait until Le'isa in order to achieve Kinyani Gneva. I mean, honestly, that was my intuitive feeling. And my question was, therefore, if the Gemara wants to torpedo Be'inna here, the Gemara didn't have to come on to Le'isa. Forget about Le'isa. Just the very moment it got into his mouth, already he has incurred a Chi of Gneva, and he has a Kinyan Gneva, and forget about Le'isa. So he says the following. Wait, let me just try to get to Makar Chaim's question. So Makar Chaim is again is based on a premise that once the truma or whatever it might be is in his mouth, he already has a kinyan gneva. Bal Karchach, he says, kinyan zeh, this kinyan of leisa, eino rak kinyane gzela. In other words, there are two, if I understand correctly, there are two kinyanim in Gneva.
Right.
There is what we call a kinyan Gneva, gzela l'schayev be'onsim, and then there's a kinyan gzela al gufa dover. So for example, we have something called the eshev gzela shar gozal, correct? The gazan has to return the object. Now, that halach that the gazlan has to return the object exists when we're in this middle stage, which is called kinyan gzela l'schay ba'onsin. In other words, his kinyan, the gazlan's kinyan, expresses itself only in the chiv onsin. But it doesn't express itself as far as a full-fledged kinyan to undermine and neutralize the chiv hashavah. So at this stage, he has a chiv hashavah. Then, if the gazlan goes one step further than that kinyan, and he makes a kinyan which has a shinui element to it, then he's a full-fledged kinyan, not just to pay for onsim, but he no longer has to return the object. Again, he'll have to pay for the object, but He doesn't have to return the object itself. So let's say, for example, a ganav would steal chidim, he would steal wheat, and then the wheat, after he stole it, he lifted up the wheat with full intention to steal it, then the lightning struck and the wheat went up in smoke. So he's going to have to pay for that. Correct? Oh, but on the other hand, let's say the wheat did not go up in smoke, so he has to return the wheat. Now let's go to the next stage. He took the wheat and he grinds the wheat down and makes it into a flour. At that point, he doesn't have to return the object. It's his. Right. He'll have to pay for it. He doesn't have to return it. Now we have two stages, according to the Nesivos, in Achila, in the case of a Gazlan. Stage number one is where the Gazlan takes the object into his mouth. At that point, the object is still considered be'en, there was no shinui, and the Gazlan is chai for onsim, but he does have a chiv hashava. Then let's go one step beyond that. He starts chewing up the object. At that point, the Gazlan makes a full-fledged kinyan, we'll call it a shinui, and at that moment, he is no longer responsible for returning the object. The object after le'isa is panim chadashas bol, kind. It's like the case before of gazal chitin v'tochnan. Elishu kinyan guf, haguf, meaning the guf now belongs to the gazlan, the chashiv shinui.
So then he's a chayiv kesef.
Just give me 1 minute here. Oh, he says, hochinam, hale'isa, hezek nikarhu. Okay, now he's introducing a whole new element to the equation. I don't know what he means here by introducing hezek nikarhu. I would say, I would call it shinui. I don't know why he has to call it hezek nikar. The machmas hale'isa nifsad hamacha. Oh, let's see how this kicks in. Tomatzah gzula. V'yamayin yotza v'matzah gzula. Kaimalon b'vola matzah yotza. So he is yotza the mitzvah through b'liya without what? Without le'isa. And at what point is he kona the matzah? Hakinyin ba b'le'isa kona masiyah samatzah. Just give me a minute. Hamitzvah, I'm sorry. Just give me a second here. 1 second. So at this point, he makes a kinyan le'isa. Just 1 second. Before we were talking about the earliest stage where he takes it into his mouth. He doesn't even need to come on to that stage. He's saying that, let's say, the full-fledged kinyan is chal le'isa. I'm not sure why does he need that. Okay, so now that the Gemara establishes a kinyan gzeilav le'isa and vola matzah yotza, no, the le'isa is not part of the mitzvah of matzah. The mitzvah achilas matzah is totally, again, I would say that le'isa is a ma'isa mitzvah, but anyway, so he's saying no, the le'isa is not part of the mitzvah and it's only a hechitim, so it's only just a technicality to achieve the mitzvah itself, which is bliya. So Mimela, what does it have to do with Matzah Gzula? He's saying that Matzah Gzula is basically Mitzvah Baba Vera. Oh, so it means that what? That in Yotze, in other words, when he steals the matzah, at the point of, why isn't that enough that he stole the matzah? He's saying, no, it's not enough that he stole the matzah, he has to make a kinyan shinui on the matzah. He has to violate the gzela in a way that he doesn't return the object. And since we're saying that le'isa is already a shinui, and he's not chayev for the le'isa, so at what moment is he violating? In other words, both. I'm not sure why he needs this be'idna here. Just 1 second. I'm missing one piece of the puzzle here. So again, the Rosh says that there's a problem of lachen. But he's learning that no, it's a problem of mitzvah baba ver. Mitzvah baba ver means it's got to be simultaneous, that both the what? The mitzvah and the aver have to be simultaneous. So it's not enough that he stole the matzah, he's got to eat the matzah. Why does he have to eat the matzah? If he just stole the matzah and then he eats the matzah, that's fine. Why isn't that mitzvah b'avera? I do not know. But for whatever reason, there's no mitzvah b'avera. So in order to set up mitzvah b'avera, he needs that the gzela and the mitzvah of matzah are absolutely simultaneous. That generates mitzvah b'avera. Right. The fact that he gets access to the matzah by stealing it, apparently that's not enough to set up mitzvah b'avera. But that doesn't make any sense what I'm saying. But let me just throw it out there.
It does.
Oh, so now I need a violation of gneva, of gzela, at the moment that he eats the matzah. We have to pasul the achila. You know, there's got to be a chal shem psul in the achila itself. And that chal shem is generated by the fact that he becomes a gazlan at that moment in time. So frek the Makor Chaim, how can you tell me that there's simultaneity between the gzela and the achila? The gzela was already achieved at the time of what? The blia and the chiyuv. I'm sorry. The gzela was already achieved at the time of the leisa, and the mitzvah was achieved later on at the time of the blia. So how could it be simultaneity? Again, Rabbi Moshe, I don't know why he needs simultaneity, but let's just grant that premise. He needs in order to passel the mitzvah of matzah under the klal of mitzvah b'avera, you need be'imna. That at the moment that he's fulfilling the mitzvah, he's stealing the object. He's violating the avera.
Right.
Okay? So it's not a question of getting access to the mitzvah. That's not a problem. But there's got to be a gzela at the time of the mitzvah, at the time of the achil. Now, if we're saying the following, based on our sugya ksubis, that the avera of gzela is absolutely complete, it's totally complete, at the moment of blia, I'm sorry, at the moment, I keep saying blia when I mean to say le'isa. So from now on, we're both saying, whenever I say blia, it means le'isa. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
But if I get this right, at the moment of le'isa, he's a full-fledged gazla. Why? Because at that moment he's kona b'shinu.
Right.
And then the mitzvah of matzah, of achila, is not going to be fulfilled until blia. So in other words, we're not going to say that le'isa is a kiyum of mitzvah matzah. So if he chews the matzah and then he spits it out, he's not yotzeh. He's only yotzeh the mitzvah matzah with blia. And he's already incurred a full-fledged violation of gzela with le'isa.
At the moment he makes the
Does anybody know why? Maybe that's the next paragraph. Okay, that's the famous Yerushalmi about someone who carries a matzah. Let's say there was an overlap between Pesach and Shabbos. He carries the matzah from Rishus HaRab to Rishus HaYochid, and he can be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. Okay, fine. The Afgal to call Hechem the Kani Lekodem Asiyas a mitzvah. Lo Chashim mitzvah b'avera. How does he know this? I'm missing a piece of the puzzle. Nochamon. Afgal to call Hechem the Kani Lekodem Asiyas a mitzvah. I know, what about Lulav HaGozel? Lulav HaGozel means that at the time that he lifts the, lulav, he steals it. But if you steal a lulav, you could be yotzei with the mitzvah of lulav. That doesn't make any bit of sense to me.
Why?
We learned here lulav agosel. Do we ever come to the conclusion that lulav agosel is possible only if he stole it at the moment that he lifted it up?
Right.
Okay, I don't know. I'm missing an idea here. But let again, Al, you'll set me straight. But I just want to get to one point.
That's
Let's assume he's right. That if the kinyan took place before the asiyas of mitzvah, that's not called mitzvah b'avera. Oh, mikol makom, kevon shakinyan hu v'shas achila d'le'isa l'tzachos mitzvah. Oh, now he's saying something else. This is already an answer to the question. So let's see who are the people, the players in the game here. The first player in the game, the one who's asking this kasha, is Gilyonos Baruch Tam. No, that doesn't make any sense. The one who asks his kasha is the Makor Chaim. That's number Beis. Okay, so what's Gimel? Gimel is
Baruch.
Yeah, but what is he coming to teach me? I mean, we had the kasha here from the Nesibs. All right. Anyway, so now we have an answer from the Sfas Emes. Okay, so Sfas Emes is coming to answer the kasha of the Makor Chaim. And what's his answer? His answer is Le'isa L'tzorach Achila. Okay, that's his new concept. Oh, I would have said it a little differently. I would have said that Le'isa is the Maisa Mitzvah and the Blia is the Kiyum HaMitzvah. But if the Maisa Mitzvah itself coincides with the Avera, that's enough to set up Mitzvah Ba'Avera. So let's just think in the case of Shofar. So what happens here? He blows the shofar. At the moment he blows the shofar, right, he violates the Isur Me'ilah. Right? Just 1 second. Right. So now, the Kiyum HaMitzvah shofar is what? Shmiah, correct? So why is that called Mitzvah Bob Avera? There's no simultaneity here because he's chai from Me'ilah even before he hears the shofar. At the moment that he blows into the shofar. Ah, the answer is because the tekiah itself is a Maisa Mitzvah. Here too, in Matzah, although the Kiyum HaMitzvah is what? Blia. Nevertheless, the Maisa Mitzvah is Le'isa. That's what I think the Sfas Emes means. Again, he doesn't use our lingo, but that's the lumps. Go ahead, Alan.
What I think what he was trying to say is that once you make a shinui in it, you're karnet it. So by Le'isa, you're already making a shinui in it, and you don't have to return the object. Once you don't have to return the object does not belong to the other person, and when you're dwelling it, it's Stam Matzah. And Stam Matzah, you yotze with the mitzvah of matzah. It's not about you yotze with the mitzvah of avera. That avera is gonorrhea. That's a different avera. It has nothing to do with this anymore. It's finished. But until that, but if there's no liisa, if what you did is you bolea it without liisa, then the moment of geneva, then when it's no returnable, is the moment that you bolea it. And at that point, you're over on the mitzvah of avera. Because that was the moment of Geneva. And the moment of Geneva and the moment of the Kiyum of Mitzvah Matzah were simultaneous.
Okay, let me just think about that.
But there's one Indian that's related to that, so that is not so clear.
So,
which is why he's not using Kiyum Katzer, because there's been no Shinu in the object. Kiyum Katzer, he's using Lisa, but there's a Shinu.
From the call, Hecha de Kani Le Kodem Asiyas HaMitzvah. That is that what he means? Let me just see if what you say is in the language. And conceptually, I agree with what you're saying. I just want to see it in the language here. This was talking about meaning. Came with Elisa Kanya. Kinyan's there. Not just for Greva, but it's a full fledged Kinyan, and therefore he's not chayv in Hashava. Kinyan Haguf Chosu Shin Achanami Ale Iso Hezek Nikari, which we identify Shiva, Temachus Alisa Nifsara Machon came, my Eni Yotze Matzik Zua Hilalisa Tzachachil Chosu. What's the answer to the question?
That's not a question.
No, but I'm saying you're explaining the Makor Chaim's kasha.
Right.
I'm up to the teretz of the Sfas Emes. How does
Sfas Emes is saying no, you're wrong.
That what?
Because it's not possible to make a blia without Le'isa, because it's physically not possible to do so. So therefore, Le'isa becomes a part of the mitzvah of achila, and you're already over at the time of Le'isa, and at that time. And then the
Samotamiya. No, the Lisa can't be part of the mitzvah because
Lisa is part of the
mitzvah. I'm saying the mitzvah, but it can't be a qualified part of the mitzvah. It cannot qualify and to be Yotzi Zayin because it's already not Veru.
Right.
But what if you spit it out at the Lisa then? How can you be your own?
No, he's been Yotzi. He never started the mitzvah.
Well, you wouldn't be Yotzi the mitzvah. He's saying that the reason why you would think he's Yotzi the mitzvah in this case is because I don't care if he was a gazan at the moment of Le'isa, as long as he swallows the matzah, that's fine. If he didn't swallow the matzah, then there's nothing to talk about. He wasn't Yotzi. But I have meaning to say that he should be Yotzi, and he's kamashmul enough that the mitzvah starts, so to speak, the kickoff of the mitzvah is the Le'isa.
Yeah, the only thing I don't understand.
Or maybe we could say it a little differently, that if there's a. What I said is correct. The kickoff of the mitzvah is the Le'isa, but we have to go one step further now and say there's already a psul in this mitzvah at the time of the kickoff. Even though the final accomplishment of the mitzvah requires blia, but nevertheless. The Le'isa itself has to be integrated into the mitzvah.
Right.
And I cannot integrate the Le'isa into the mitzvah because it's a Le'isa shell avera.
Exactly. Now, the only
So let's go over this. So the Makar Chaim is Havamina. He thought that the mitzvah begins, well, it begins and ends. Let's say we can concentrate the entire mitzvah in the Bliya.
Right.
So if the entire mitzvah is in the Bliya, he was already coded it as a gazlan, and now there's no mitzvah about Vera.
Right.
Why? Because with Le'isa he was already kona,
right.
and it's his, it's right. his object. So it's not called a mitzvah about Vera.
Exactly.
So what does he mean by halchinami al Le'isa hezik nikeish machmas al Le'isa nifsar hamachol? In other words, b'toras. I think he means b'toras gazlan. He's already chayiv at the moment of Le'isa, and therefore my any yotzim b'matzik zula kaimelon. Now, what's this last line? Hakaimelon debala matzik yotza akinyan bo b'Le'isa kodem asiyah sam mitzvah. Just 1 second. I'm just trying to fit it into the language, and the kinyan is complete. Vidami. Or maybe this is the key. Vidami legazal kemach vaso matzah.
Right.
In other words, with the shinui of kemach to matzah gazal kemach. Oh, okay. I had a different case of gazal chitin vaso kemach. He's talking about also matzah. He bakes it as matzah. So at that point, he was already konen b'shinui. And what? Now he eats the matzah.
Oh, the footnote says clearly the Le'isa ain't a mina mitzvah. The footnote Gimel.
That's what he
said. Gimel means that what?
Oh, yeah, so it's not just Samus would say otherwise.
Right. He's explaining the kasha of the Makar Chaim. Notice Makar Chaim is assuming two things. Number one, once there's a full fledged Kenyan Gzela of Shinui, then you can be Yotze, it's not mitzvah bubble there. And the second assumption is that the Le'isa is not an integral part of the mitzvah matzah. It's only like a hefet timtzah. It's like building a sukkah. In order to sit in the sukkah, you may have to build the sukkah. In order to swallow matzah, you may have to chew it up first, because you can't put down a whole kazai.
It sounds like he's bringing a right from the fact that if someone were to swallow matzah without chewing it, be Yotze in the mitzvah.
In the footnote?
No, here. He says, I'll kind of learn the bala matzah yatza. It sounds like bala without chewing. Now, obviously, bala matzah is good, but bala matzah without chewing at all. So, Svasemis would have to say, well, if it's an integral part of the mitzvah key and the matzah is chewing, then how could I be yatza if all I did was swallow and I didn't chew at all? So, Svasemis have a problem with that halach.
Right. I guess he would say the bala matzah yatza means on the condition that they have Le'isa.
But
there are
Afilas, though. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
That's right. It's got to be Dera Afila.
Right. So, you know who talks about this? I think the Mishnah Berurah actually addresses this question. If we had the, I think the fifth chalik of the Mishnah Berurah is Hilchos Pesach.
Right.
I think he addresses this issue about Le'isa. Did we mention this? I think we mentioned when we were learning that sefer. What was that sefer from Rav Weingarten? You know, a seder aruch.
Right.
Yeah, I think in that context we mentioned this Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah wanted to prove that the leisa itself is significant. I'm trying to remember what was the discussion.
Because
he was talking about bliachas, where they have to be bolea.
Hanas chech.
I don't know, but I'm just saying in the context of matzah, I think we had a discussion about le'isa, where the le'isa is. I don't have that in front of me. It was probably in one of the pages that we photocopied.
It's part of the mitzvah. It does. You don't have a kind of the mitzvah, but le'isa alone.
So again, so what's this fasem? It says, afogav, the kol hecha, the koni le'kona masiyasa mitzvah, that would be fine. But here, the kinyan is at the moment of le'isa, and le'isa is le'tzorech achila. I know he should have been a little clearer here. He should have said le'isa hu le'tzorech mitzvahs achila, or is chelik ha'le'isa nechsheves le'chelik mi mitzvahs achilas matzah. Now on the next page, which is kuflam and hey, you have that?
Yep.
Okay, so he quotes Ibn Yeshua in Pesachim. Let's see if we can figure this out. Yushalmi pasli mehaitam a mitzvah gzula yishuvdavile mitzvah boba vera ubigamara didan, meaning in the Bavli, lo idkaru ha hasam klal mishua mitzvah. I'm sorry. The Gemara didan lo idkaru ha. I don't know where to put the comma here. Ha hasam
hasam chalal mishum de lo mishkan
chalei. Lo mishkan. Just 1 second. The Gemara didan lo idkaru ha.
In other words, in our Gemara, this isn't mentioned.
What's he saying wasn't mentioned? As Yushalmi mentions a psul of matzah gzula under the law of mitzvah boba vera, and it's not mentioned in our Gemara. Now, I don't know. He means that the psul of mitzvah of matzah gzula is not mentioned, or he means that matzah gzula is mentioned, but the Gemara never explicitly says it's a problem of mitzvah boba vera. Let's see if we can figure that out. Ubigmar didan lo idkiru ha hasam klal mishum de lo mishkachas le. The savri lo kidamrina beperik elu nairis the mechilase befume kanye. Oh, that's our Gemara. The la bar adurehu. Okay, la bara duri. That was actually the Gemara's second possibility. Lo motzi la duri.
No.
No, that's for a different reason.
It means that it's a shinui. That it's no longer able to be. Right. It's not matzah anymore.
Oh, you can't. You can't eat it as matzah.
Yeah, so he's using the same lashon, but he means two different things.
Vi ein la nigzal elo domin. Is therefore what is no. Is no mitzvah boba vera. So I think he's saying that the Bavli doesn't mention matzah gzula because since once he chews the matzah, he was already kone it in a way that it's completely gone, and then all he has to pay is damim. That's not going to be a psula mitzvah boba vera. So what does the Yushalmi hold? I don't know. We have to figure out what the Yushalmi holds. Maybe the Yushalmi holds that le'isa is not part of the mitzvah. Like the maskon of the svasemis, that le'isa is part of the gufa mitzvah.
Interesting. I just looked up the Mishnah Berurah. There may be more, but he was talking on the one I was reading. The idea that you have to have a kezias from the top matzah and a kezias from the middle because the brachas go in each one. It makes it clear. He put that the achronim, was he post? What is the word he used? Are of the opinion that you don't have to swallow them all, both kezaisim at the same time. You just have to have them in your mouth and the raskim, which I assume means chewing them. That's the only thing. You have to put them together. But swallowing them, you can take your time swallowing them. Now, if the mitzvah is swallowing, then I'm still, you have to swallow both because they seem at the same time. But But he's saying, making it clear that the only inyan of having both kazesin because of the two brachos you make is that they should be in your mouth during the chewing.
Yeah, because then they,
so that means that they're certainly chewing is
the. You want to send that? You want to send the Mishnah Berurah to the printer? Is that?
I don't know if I can do it
from
my phone.
Ah, you have it in your phone.
I don't have it in an app. Yeah, what the Mishnah Berurah is saying is that once you lowest it.
Because I remember that we had a Mishnah Berurah. Let me just finish this. Vesu leka bishas hanas grono umeo. What does it mean, leka? Su leka, what's leka here? Leka, it means that the matzah doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Because he's already chewed it up. Vishas hanas grono. Ah, by the time he gets it into his throat, umeov, it's already leka, su leka. The Ovid mitzvah, right, the Ovid mitzvah. I'm not reading this right. The su leka v'shas hanos grono umeov. The Ovid mitzvah. Lo, let me see. Lo mishum lochem, lo mishum mitzvah baba vera.
Right.
No, no, he's talking about Bliya, I guess, where he says Shal Sados Grono. And at the time of Bliya is the Ovid Mitzvah is low Mishum. There's no psul.
Yeah, there's two things here. The problem is that the yotzu with the mitzvah of matzah has to be lechem.
Right.
It only becomes lechem when you're kone it. Otherwise, it still belongs. If you can return it, it's returnable. That means it's not lechem.
Yeah.
So therefore, at the point when it changes to no longer be returnable, it becomes lechem. And once it becomes lechem, you can be yotzu with the mitzvah of matzah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So when he says lo mishum lechem, means there's no chisarn of lechem.
Right.
So
right.
There's no mitzvah baba avera.
Like there's no avera whatsoever.
So leka means leka psul, I think, right. If I could add that word. Leka, there's no problem or invalidation. And when we get to the moment that he actually swallows it, lo mishum lechem, there's no invalidation because of the absence of lechem. Lo mishum mitzvah baba avera because it's no longer gzula. He owns it. He doesn't have to return it. Umevur de kanye b'shinui legamre afilu mishum mitzvah above aver lespe.
Yeah.
Upolig al rishonim anal disvilahu di al kopanim eni yotze mishum mitzvah above aver. Oh, he's going back to the question of the Makor Chaim, and the Makor Chaim assumes that there is a psul of mitzvah above aver in matzah gzula. And that was also the Yerushalmi. So if you take the Yerushalmi, and apparently the Makor Chaim has other Rishonim who agree to this Yerushalmi, then we're saying that there's no, that there is a psul of mitzvah baba avera, and there's no svar to say that he already was kind of a shinui at the point of Le'isa.
Yeah, so there's two possible.
Or maybe we could say the following, that according to Yerushalmi, there's going to be what? There's going to be a psul because the Le'isa itself is part of the mitzvah achilas matzah.
What? That's like the Sasan.
Right.
Well,
that's what I would say. But
the other possibility is that since they shemayim, you really still have to return it. So it never totally becomes yours, 100%, and because of that, it's a mitzvah baba avera.
But what does he mean? Al rishonim anal?
I don't know.
Does he mean the rush that we started with the rush b'psofim? Because the eoyah, maybe he means the rush in the Rambam. The ein adam yotzi dechovas matzik zula, dechovas matzik zula, because it's not lochem. But why isn't it lochem at the moment of Le'isa?
Yeah, because so he's saying that this very object,
that's
this
is an object,
this object is a stolen object. I don't care what you do with it. You make it better, you make it worse, you make it anything. It's always going to be a stolen object.
Right.
And therefore you're gonna be upset with it.
Or if you go to Svasemis, maybe that the lease itself is an integral part of the mitzvah.
Right. But I have one other question for you, Rebbe, and that is when do you mashayer the value of this object, its matzah? At the time when he first took it, or at the time when he or at the time that he destroys it? What are you, assuming that let's say that somehow
was the shot like Zayla, as far as paying?
Yeah, let's say that there was a tremendous change in the value of the matzah between the time that he put it.
He
in
stole it and the time that he chewed it.
Yeah, or the time that he chewed it and the time that he swallowed it. Say.
So once again, if we're holding that up until the Le'isa, it's only Achiv Onsim. So now what happens? If he ate the matzah, so then at the moment that he chewed it, he chewed it up. That was his full fledged kinyan. Till then, he's just chayv ba'otzim. So now, if there was a fluctuation in the value between the shas gzela and the moment of what of achila. Oh, well, let's talk about Le'isa, let's be more precise. So then, so Le'isa itself. I would say we go L'chumra in both directions. He has a double chiyuv here. The moment that he stole it, he's chayv ba'onsim, and if he can't return it, he has to pay that price.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's another kinyan gzeli at the time of Le'isa, so if it went up in price, he should have to pay. Because again, up until the Le'isa, the object is be'en.
Right.
And therefore, he still has a chiyuv of hashava on this object. So it's as if the object is in the reshus of the nigzal. Now that he chews it up, he makes a full fledged kinyan gzeli, and if the value is a higher value, I think you'd have to pay the higher value. But what about the other case? What if it went down in value?
Correct.
That's what confuses me. If he's chayim in onus, but again, this is not a shaila in Le'isa. This is just a general shaila. In other words, what happens if a gazlan steals something?
Yeah.
And then the object gets destroyed. In the meantime, the object went down in value. Let's say, can he say, well, I'm going to pay you kishas tovar, what's called in the Gemara language, kishas tovar u'mochar.
Right.
Well, no, not tovar. Tovar u'gazze, whatever it says there in the Gemara. Or does he pay kishas like zelo? Again, logically, I would have said that he should pay l'chumra in both directions, meaning he incurs a double chiyuv. He has a chiyuv as a ganav without a full-fledged kinyan for onsim, and now later on when the object gets lost or destroyed, he has a chiyuv b'toras full-fledged gzela, which means shinui, and either one of them should be able to be machayev.
Well,
he should get the worst of both worlds.
But
if I'm not mistaken, this is a sugi bav mitzia. Yes. That's not so relevant to ours.
It is, Rabbi, in one way, because if it turns out the price went up and he has to pay it, and that occurred at the time of the Belia, then at the time of the, if it occurred at the Belia, because if it occurred at the time of the Belia, then even though you want to say that he was Kona at the time of Le'isa, but actually it can't be so, because he has to be Kona at the time of Belia then, because you can't charge him for something that he owns entirely himself. The rabbi, the higher price occurred under his ownership. So you're saying if you're going to charge him l'chumra and he has to pay the higher price at the time of Bliya, that means it really still didn't belong to him totally, and therefore there's kum l'chum l'mirabim.
I don't know, you lost me on that, Alan. Well, let me just go on to the next paragraph. He says, V'ulam yesh lidchos es haraya misugyan, v'emes le'isa lo avishinu. Oh, so now what was Gemara asking? Right, the Gemara says there's no simultaneity between Gzela and the Misa Bidei Shamayim, because he's already chayav from the time of Le'isa. Oh, so what is Gemara's kasha? Kusha said Gemara he midel Le'isa midel lase kanyule bekinyani zelus chayav beonsim. Ah, it's not a full fledged shinui. And therefore, kamo kushas hagemara li'el mi de'agve kanye, like in the case of chelev, or maybe even in the case of truma, is dahainu l'schay be'onsim. So since he's already chayev be'onsim at that point, so then what? Later on he swallows it, and he incurs a chiyuv misa v'dei shamayim. So the chiyuv of a gazlan preempted the chiyuv of a zar shachal truma or chelev, whatever the different cases are, because he's already chayv as a gazlan from the moment that he chewed it up. So he chews it up. And he's chayav as a gazlan. So why do we wait until now to say this? This is l'chora obvious. Hani mishum docha mayir shechaver tocha lo p'chei kol zman shalom hiske lilos hi efshalach shiva gazlan shem adayta lahas mishom paruch m'lasi kanye. So from the moment that he did the le'isa, he made a kinyan. I'm not sure why.
Because it's
why he's not. Why is this? This is not a shinui.
Because when he's talking about the schedule, about what we were talking about before, about is it possible for him to bring it back up or not?
Even though he chewed it up.
Even though he chewed it up, if it's possible to bring it back up again,
it's not.
Then he's not going to be chayev. Not going to be chayev misa v'dei shamayim. No, he will be
until he swallows.
Yeah,
but
no,
already he's kind of as a gazlan at the moment until the Isa. But,
yeah,
but why is he? Is he rejecting the kinyan shinui?
Because that
it says ve'emes le'isa lo avishinui. Okay, fine. I mean, I don't know why le'isa wouldn't be a shinui. But let's say we find some sort of answer to that question. That for some reason, le'isa is not a shinui. So then we can explain the Gemara even without the full fledged kinyan, as long as he's chayav for onsim. Just 1 second. So if he's chayav for onsim, then it makes a full fledged kinyan at the moment of Belia. At the moment of Belia, he's what? Yes, yeah, so he's saying that it's irrelevant if Le'isa is a. In other words, even if Le'isa is not a shinui, we still would say that he's chayav, because once he became chayav for onsim at the point of Le'isa, then if the object is not there, and in this case it's not in existence because he ate it, right? So then for sure he's chayav. He has to pay for it. So the fact that he incurs a chiyuv misa at the moment of Bliya is irrelevant, because I don't have to knock off a chiyuv here. He already has a chiyuv by virtue of the chiyuv onsim. In other words, the destruction of the object by virtue of his own eating it is no worse than an onus. So he certainly has to pay for it. So the Gemara is justifying in its kasha, even if I assume Le'isa is not a shinuk. Again, Rav Osei, in parentheses, I'm not sure why we should battle about this. You know, I don't know who he's quoting here. Again, he's quoting this Baruch Tam. I don't know why he has to fight with the assumption that Le'isa is a shinui. But if for some reason you assume that Le'isa is, it's still partially intact or whatever it might be, so it's not a real shinui, the Gemara is still justified. So there's really no proof from our Gemara that Le'isa is a shinui. And this is going to be great, because now we understand the case of matzah gzula, right? What was the whole problem of the Makar Chayim? He already made a full-fledged kinyan before he was yotzi the mitzvah. No, that's not so. He didn't make a full-fledged kinyan, because despite the le'isa, it's still, I don't know what you want to call it, partially intact. But it's enough intact that he
before,
can.
Before.
It doesn't have to be intact. That
he can be chai for owns the Torah's mice and gneva, but he's not kona b'shinui. If he's not kona b'shinui, then we can call it what? Mitzvah ba ba'vera. If he's going to make a full fledged kid. You see, you have to add something else into this equation. The Nesinus is very well aware of the fact that even if I assume that Le'isa is not a Kinyan Shinui, but it's enough to be Meskai Ba'onsim as a Ganav. So that itself should be enough to justify the Kasha of the Nesivus. Do you follow me, Rabosai? Forget about whether Le'isa is a Kinyan or not, whether it's a Shinui. Le'isa for surely, and Nesivus says it explicitly, he says that Le'inyan Gazlan. Just one second. He says Le'isa Kanya, that's only Le'inyan. Just one second, I can't. Let me get the language of the Nesivus once more. The Amrinon Kema de la Se Kanye, Kochach Kinyan Ze, Eno Rak Kinyonig Zela. Lehischayev beonsim the linya lios gazlon kano kvar. So it means that leisa is only lehischayev beonsim, and that itself justifies the Gemara's kasha. But now we have a problem with mitzvah baba veira, because if he already was chayev, but he didn't make a full fledged kinyan, linya lios gazlon kano kvar kodem leisa. Kinyan aguf chosher shinui. So again, since the leisa, just one second. What's his kasha? There's no mitzvah of avera. Bola matzah. If the mitzvah is blia, and he's a gazlan already. See, I don't understand why he builds his kasha on the fact that Le'isa equals a Kinyan Shinui. Dal mihachi. Even without that, I don't have any problem with Le'isa generating a Chiyuv Onsen. Do you have any problem with that? Is the Gazlan a Gazlan already, even before a Kinyan Shinui?
Like, no, it's not Shinui.
No, again, the whole assumption of Asugi from A to Z is that once he lifts up the object, he's Chiyuv Onsen, he's already Konin. In this case, he didn't lift it up, but he chewed it. So chewing is also a Kenyan gzela, at least as far as Onsim is concerned. Yeah, maybe he hasn't changed the object yet, but he's chayv in Onsim. So why isn't that enough to justify the kasha of the Makar Chayim about mitzvah baba avera? He's already implemented the avera of gzela at the moment of shinui, at the moment of leisa, even before he swallows it, and that's true even without leisa. Ah, the answer is, I think, that there are two levels of gzela over here. There's one violation of gzela, which is at the shas hagbah, so to speak, in other words, a chiyuv onsim, and that itself is a violation of gzela. That is not enough to undermine or neutralize mitzvah baba vera, because he still has a second stage in gzela. And what's the second stage in gzela? The Kinyan Shinui. Ah, when he makes the Kinyan Shinui, at that point, we could say Mitzvah Baba Vera. So that if, let's say, he was Yotze with Le'isa in mind, so that's not true, but if, let's say, the Mitzvah would be Le'isa, then that would certainly be Mitzvah Baba Vera. And if, on the other hand, but let's say Le'isa. But if on the other hand Le'isa would only be the beginning of a Kinyan, then I mean, I'm talking about L'schai Ba'otzim, that itself would justify that it's mitzvah baba vera. comes along the Nesivas, he says, but now that we've seen an Asugi that Le'isa is a Kinyan Shinui, then there's no later stage in Gzela, and therefore it's not a Mitzvah Bavavir. So the entire premise of the Nesivas in this Kasha is that Le'isa is a Kinyan Shinui. If Le'isa is not a Kinyan Shinui, correct, then the Le'isa itself would just 1 second. If since he's not yotzi the mitzvah of matzah until when? Until Belia. So what's the kashya that he was already kona b'shinui? Forget about that. Let's assume even if it's not a kinyan shinui. Again, my problem is that the kashya of the nesivas at lechora has nothing to do with the fact that Le'isa is a Kinyan Shinui. Even without that, we still have the cash of the Makor Chaim. Why? Because how can you apply Mitzvah Boba Vera here since he already was Kona, at least as far as Onsim is concerned, with Le'isa. And even if I assume that Le'isa is not a Kinyan Shinui, but it certainly is enough to effectuate a Kinyan La'onsim, and that itself should undermine the principle of Mitzvah Bavavera. But the answer is that that wouldn't bother the Nesivas. I could still call it Mitzvah Bavavera because if Le'isa is not a Kinyan Shinui, then the real Gzela is going to be Chal at the moment of Bliya.
That's correct.
If you don't derive from our sugya, there's a Shmamiha that Le'isa is Shinui, then the answer would be that Matzah Gzula is a Mitzvah Bavavera, because then the Bliya itself is Gzela, right? Because he hasn't yet been Kona B'Shinui, and the Bliya would be the Shinui. Because the Bliya makes it impossible for him to return the object. And that's when he really fully violates the Isik Zela and simultaneously fulfills the mitzvah of Matzah. Then, hence it is mitzvah Baba Vera. And the whole kasha that undermines and torpedoes mitzvah Baba Vera is if you accept, based on our sugya, an equation between Bliya and, I'm sorry, between Le'isa and Kinyan Shinui. Now we have a problem, because then the Bliya doesn't add anything to the Gzela.
Yeah.
You follow? Because the complete stage, the total last stage of Gzela was already clinched at the moment of Le'isa. That's what bothers the Nesivas. Once there was Le'isa, if I equate Le'isa with Shinui, then forget it. The whole story of Gzela is over. Again, there's no additional Avera that's violated at the moment of Bliya, the Avera of Gzela and the Kinyan of Gzela, everything is complete, and therefore it's not Mitzvah Bava Avera. Now that you've told me that, that's because you've told me that what, that Le'isa is the complete Shinui. If on the other hand we didn't have our Sugya, and therefore we would assume that Le'isa is only what? Is only the first stage in Gzela, only L'chayel is Chayvo B'Yonsim, then it would certainly be Mitzvah Bavavera, because the Bliya itself would clinch the Gzela and upgrade it to the status of a full-fledged Kinyan Gzela. Okay, then on both sides. Let's stop here. Let's make a note of where we get up to. Mincha should be very, very short around the bend. This will give me a little time to hopefully to review this. What pages do we give out? We're up to Kuf Lamed Hey, but I think I gave you from Kuf Chav Vav and on. Am I correct?
Yeah.
So let's think about what we want to accomplish tomorrow. We still didn't do. There are a few things that we still didn't really accomplish here. Number one, Kuf Lamed Aleph is very important. So let's make a note of that. Just 1 second, so I'll be... So for... Tomorrow is Wednesday, correct? Rosh Chodesh. So let's look at... Amud Kuf Lamed Aleph. and that's Os Kuftesvav, correct? Then we have on page Kuflamid Hey, right, Amud Kuflamid Hey, we have Od Yesh Levayer. Od Yesh Levayer. That's number two. And then Rav Osai, what we want to come back to is Kuf Chav Gimel, and you have Kuf Chav Gimel, right? In Kuf Chav Gimel, we want to do Os Kuf Hey and Kuf Vav. That's what we have so far. Okay then.
Just one basic question. I'm sure we discussed it. I understood from somewhere in here. People around me only applies by Nisim Bey.
That's before Rav Nachuni Ben Hakohen. And our Mishnah actually reflects that shita, not Rav Nachuni Ben Hakohen. Rav Nachuni Ben Hakohen would say in the case of Baal Aposo that he doesn't pay knas.
But in our case, we're talking about somebody
ate truma, which is curries.
What is the
truma? Well, that's Nisim Bey Shemayim, which the Gemara now, according to Abaye, is going to equate with curries. And therefore, Rav Nachuni Ben Hakohen's Kibbeh Rabbi will apply in the case of Achilles truma.
This was the Mishnah Berurah Os Tess that had
the comment
that I thought was relevant.
This is
all I found
to do.
I didn't
know
matzah.
Yeah, this is probably the one.
Does he
talk about
Blita? Oh, yeah, this is when he talks about eating the Mubasachas. And where I saw that.
Well, you do it. Technically, you chew it up. You can spit it out, give it to him, and say, "Eat it, you'll be
old."
I have to get a hold of my.
These people are horny. It's so quack. Rachnis the pewich dance. Listen, but some lava with ugly skin. About ain mechuyel levolam bebasachas eladashi lives. Because I said, "I heard bebasachas mechachi flashah." So to me, if that was true, then Leah was the mitzvah, the only mitzvah. Then you should have to swallow it with us. Only the point of putting the mouth together if you're not swallowing the chewing. That other this certain part of chewing is honestly.
I'm not sure if this is the one.
That's all I found.
Okay, if I get a hold of the Seder Aruch, I may have made a